The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with our special Closing Market Report for Wednesday. Let's check how prices settled in Kansas City and at the Chicago Board of Trade. The numbers look like this. In Kansas City, March wheat had a settlement price of $9.67.5, up 3.5 on the day. July, $8.32.5, up 9.25. March wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, $9.40.25, up 6. May, $9.43.5, up 7.25. July, $8.06.5, up 14.5. March corn, $4.52.25, up 8.25. May, $4.62.75, up 8. July, $4.72.25, up 8.75. December, $4.70, up 7.5. January beans, $12.20.75, up 39.75. March, $12.39.5, up 40.25. May, $12.56.25, up 40.75. November, $11.26.5, up 26. January soybean meal, $3.37.70, up 8.50. March, $3.45.10, up 8.60. January soybean oil, $49.06, up 160. March, $49.66, up 166. December live cattle, $90.75, down 35. January feeders, $103.50, down 7.5. February lean hogs, $59.97.5, up 17.5 on the day. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the futures markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave. What a day in Chicago.
A tremendous day, and it just started right off the opening bell with soybeans gapping on the opening and never looking back. But what might be most impressive is how the products did, new contract highs in both meal and oil today.
Yeah. A couple things from point A to point B. We did notice, overnight that crude oil was higher. Over Sunday, I was watching Bloomberg. Christmas Day, I was watching Bloomberg and the financial channel, and they talked about the Chinese officials said that the supply of soybeans is going to be extremely tight and expect higher prices. And then last night I got an email from my private meteorologist that indicated that it was slightly drier in Argentina. And it looked like the forecast was good to excellent for Brazil. And, of course, they came in and they've had some rain, 75, maybe 80% of normal. And this rain that was supposed to occur between today and Friday has been postponed. It's going to be reduced some. There will be some rain. But now they talk about rains out to January 6th or 7th as our next best shot of rain. But still, the meteorological community seems to be unanimous in saying Brazil seems to be in good shape. The market did explode, and this is a tremendous shot as we did see substantial gains in corn, wheat, and soybeans. And as you mentioned, meal and soybean oil are also major parts of the game.
And not only that piece of fundamental news, but we had word out of China today that they need more soybean oil and meal ahead of the holidays.
Yeah. You know, the spot market is important. There are, of course, substitutes, lysine. And, the million-dollar question is, will these prices get high enough to ration demand as far as livestock is concerned, and encourage substitutions, from soybean meal to lysine and other commodities. And as it generally expects, this should go on and encourage, a great deal of expansion of production down the road, particularly South America. Also on page C3, I think it was, in the Wall Street Journal today, the Argentine government raises export taxes on corn and, the commodity shipped out of South America. And as a result of that, that's makes things more expensive. It possibly slows down farmer selling because they always think that the government, their protests will encourage them to drop the tax. It's not very popular, but the government's trying to protect their users in Argentina, as well as gain revenue from the rich farmers. And, you know, it's kind of a populist way of saying somebody gets caught in the middle and the Argentine government basically gets a backdoor revenue source of income. So there's a lot of mysterious things that are going on in this market, and it's not all just weather-related or demand-related. It's a combination of all of the above.
So we end up with the day in harvest beans with new contract highs. 1132 and a half is the new high there. And I suppose there might be, on the part of hedgers, a real temptation to get something done at this lofty level. But I suppose that you might want to wait to pull the trigger until you see, I don't know, some indicator invaded, maybe the 10-day moving average or something like that.
You know, that's a good point. You know, I had one farmer come into the office here and says, wait for a dollar break, and if it happens, sell out. And if it doesn't happen, you're still long and wait for better times. What it is going to do, and unfortunately when these kind of markets occur, you know, there's always winners and there's losers, and in this particular case the people that are long are winners. But this is going to change the valuation of everything in modern agriculture, from livestock feeding to land ownership to the actual farming and inputs. You do have to be extremely careful, and there is some real psychological risks involved of being wrong the market, and therefore, you know, people can be conservative. As you mentioned, wait for certain technical things to give you that basically pat on the shoulder and say it's time to get out. The general feeling is that the momentum is so strong, Dave, and that's the scary part of this thing, and it's really young and early in the trading season, so to speak.
And corn was along for the ride on the coattails of the beans today?
Yes, it is. And, of course, the one thing about the corn is this is the critical time frame for rainfall in Argentina. It's not necessarily their main growing areas, but it's parts of the big growing area in Argentina that's so important. So, you know, we could say that 65 to 85% of normal rainfall in this time of year in Iowa and northern Illinois wouldn't burn the crop up, but it's going to be something that they're going to have to watch very carefully. And as you mentioned, maybe there's also this tug of war in the marketplace of, acreage and who's going to plant what in the world, and that's also really directing the corn price as well.
As you look at continuation charts, Paul, there's not a lot of support or resistance points between the lofty level we achieved today and those numbers that happened way back then in 1996 when we got all the way up to 554.5.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one big factor here is it's created this tremendous demand and basically runaway market, of course, is the renewable energy concept. And it does send a message that anyone that has a long position, whether a farmer raising hogs or a ethanol plant processing corn into ethanol, he basically can survive some pretty large price swings by price protection and a chicken feeder. But it's the guy that doesn't have coverage is the one that's subject to time out and possibly slow down an economic problem. So the people that can survive this thing the best, of course, are the people that have inventory and also hedge long to protect those price swings.
All right, then, let's look at the wheat market. What do you make of the fact that wheat really didn't rally to anywhere near the degree that the beans and the corn did on this particular day?
And, it probably shouldn't from a fundamental point of view. We are harvesting better than expected wheat yields out of Argentina. We are getting excellent rains out of Australia, which means they're going to have milo and sunflowers and edible oils to export. And, of course, the U.S. wheat crop is expecting even some snows, even in those areas where it could get a little cold, to protect them from freezing conditions. And, of course, Europe and Russia's all seems to be in good shape. So wheat was a follower, and it portrayed the follower quite well. Some people say, well, wheat is the one that's really going to accelerate in pricing, and I think that wheat is going to be a definite follower, and it did take definite notice of soybeans up 40-plus cents and corn up 8 cents, or wheat would have struggled and possibly closed lower if it wasn't for the tremendous dynamic move in gold, silver, crude oil, the bullishness clear across the trading floors, Chicago to New York.
U.S. dollar softer today as well. What do you think that the open interest on this trade today will reveal when we see it tomorrow?
Oh, I'm probably record volume of new buying and, the commodity funds that were just in there all over it. And, of course, not only in the grain pits, but in outside markets as well. It will be a day that will be remembered as a possibly a channel breakout in a lot of commodities.
All right, then. What are we left with, Paul, if you're either a speculator or a hedger and trying to figure out what to do? I mean, there's probably people that would like to get long this market and can't figure out how to do it.
Well, a couple of easy ways, maybe long corn, short wheat, some sort of an option strategy. If a person is bullish crude oil, you can always go buy the company, like Exxon. If you're bullish production, there's always XYZ grain company you can buy, and also there's the ways you can do it is, be long and use some kind of option strategy. So, there's a million ways to perform, but the big thing is to be extremely careful because these are very unusual times, and we'd have to say the pre-call tonight and tonight's trading is probably a better market.
What do you make, then, of the subprime mess that we've had over the last several months? And is there, you've talked about it in the past several weeks, is there still a chance for this issue to come home the roost, or will the Federal Reserve do whatever it can to avoid this?
Yeah, we've seen some evolution change as the way the Fed is handling this problem. But back to the original question, this is an extremely monumental problem. And when the smartest money center banks basically got fleeced by, subprime, in other words, interest rates to buy homes at below market costs and then have a balloon payment of higher prices in 3 years and created this kind of financial panic of somewhere between conservatively $600 to $100 billion of market problems. And when you go in, and for years the large money center banks always hired the smartest and the best students of all the universities in the United States, and basically they got fleeced in this way, it's extremely embarrassing to the financial community. Also embarrassing is that government does like to protect the money center banks because they are the people that handle a lot of the government bonds and major transactions in the world. We're seeing Merrill Lynch basically sell out their financial lending group to General Electric. They were willing to buy it, readily because they're in pretty good shape. But, this is going to create, possibly a slowdown or a recession in the economy. If you need to buy homes, it's being talked about that a lot of the homes in America, you can buy them at 25 to 30% discount than what they were 6 months to a year ago. So, there are tremendous values out there. So it's not only causing a slowdown in the building industry, it's a lot of the trades and, a clear spectrum across the U.S. economy. Hopefully it won't affect, the other 80% of the U.S. economy. And as people say, it's a very, very strong deal. But one of the problems that's created this problem, of course, is the high energy costs. People just basically can't afford high gasoline and the other high inflationary deal. obviously this is a precursor of inflation in the U.S. economy and around the world.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a profitable day, Dave.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. You're listening to WILL Urbana.
Hi, this is Station Manager Jay Pierce. This year we brought you programs you count on every day, and we're committed to doing the same in 2008 with your help. There are many ways to contribute to WILL, donations of stock, a used vehicle, or taking advantage of the charitable IRA provision of 2007. To make your gift or learn more, please call us at 217-244-9455 or go online to willpledge.org. Thanks.